Thank you so much. Thank you all. Thank you, Rochelle. I hope I'm saying that correctly, for chairing the meeting. Thank you all so much for giving me an opportunity to share a little bit about my program. So much gratitude, Arlen, for the invitation and just for the opportunity to be in a program that has given me the ability to like be the person that I said that I wanted to be in my life, and never had the courage or strength to actually be, but through this program have gotten the tools to like be the person who was like, oh yeah, I love talking, or I would love to like be a speaker in the world, but like literally so afraid to do any of those things. And then now just yeah, having the opportunity and taking it. So I'm grateful. So yes, just to say a little bit about who I am and what brought me into this space and how I came into this program. I identify as a compulsive overeater, and that has been a part of my story since the beginning. I very much in like reading the big book and hearing about the doctor's opinion and the idea of like a physical disease of the body while also having this obsession of the mind, very much true for me as it related to food. But the starting point was the exposure in an emotional context. So for me, grew up with a single mom. We migrated to the United States, and in my upbringing, like my mom had to work, and ultimately in the beginning of her career, like very much worked overnight. And so I remember being 4 years old, and my mom not being able to afford or have access to childcare at that time. And so doing what she could, she would before she had to go off to work, hand me my TV dinner, and I hope it's okay to mention specific foods. So hand me my meal for the night and put me in bed with that meal and turn on the TV, and say, okay, Sharon, like eat your dinner. And the time you wake up in the morning, like your breakfast will be on the table. So she would like leave a box of cereal there for me. And by the time you're finished with your breakfast, like I'll be home. And so as a 4-year-old, starting at that point, I just remember like being so afraid because particularly actually, because like my mom would leave me in front of the TV, and like we didn't have cable or anything. So like when she left, there would be like a kids show on, but then by the time like nighttime happened and like I still wasn't asleep, Star Trek would come on, and for some reason like Star Trek was just so scary to me as a little kid, and so I was like afraid. But what I learned from that experience was that food was there, right? So she set me up with my food before she left, and the thing that was going to be there for me when I woke up was food. And so food very much became my antidote to fear. And that is how I lived my life from when I was 4 years old, and that was introduced to me up until if I hadn't found this program, that would be how I continued to live my life. And so what that looked like in terms of the manifestation of the disease for me was yeah, using food to cope with any situation that I had. And so physically what that did to my body is that I was obese like as a child and all the way into adulthood. So by the time I was in 8th grade, I was over 200 pounds, and lived kind of in my food addiction throughout my life, up until the point where my highest weight was 290 pounds, in like high school, college, kind of that was like the weight that I was in that range, into like my mid-20s when I ended up having bariatric surgery that I'll talk a little bit more about. But yes, thinking about this program and the idea of like step one being a sense of powerlessness over particularly food and a sense of an unmanageable life. Like I very much had the step one concept down. I felt powerless over not only my food, and the way that I interacted with food and the way that I used it to like solve all of my problems, but I felt powerless over all of the things happening in my life and in the world. And so that led me back to food because if I could not do anything else, like I felt so debilitated in my ability to cope with life, I could eat. So, my way of living in the world was literally not getting out of my bed. Again, I had this like comfort zone that was my bed and eating in my bed. And so that is how I lived in the world. That is how I coped with just insurmountable fear. That was my life. So again, basically that got me up to 290 pounds. And yeah, up into my mid-20s. But I always had this sense of like, as someone who grew up obese, like I had this sense of like, if I just get to like life outside of my weight issue, then life will be different. Because I couldn't say that I had that experience. There was never a time in my life where weight was not an issue. So I was like, if I just get to the other side, like things will naturally be different somehow. And so yeah, that's the thing that I held with me all the way up until I ended up I think in this is in 2022, January 2022, I had the opportunity to have the gastric sleeve surgery. And obviously, like, a lot of thought went into that and a consultation with my doctors and those kinds of things. And I'm grateful for the tool that that was. And so had the surgery in January of 2022, and as a result of my surgery, was able to in the course of that year, January 2022, lose about 100 pounds. And so by the time I got to the end of 2022, around November or December, I had lost 100 pounds, but now that I was in this smaller body, I had to really confront, like, oh, okay, you had this, narrative in your head, sharing that losing this weight was going to solve your problems. And the reality is that it neither solved my problems with food nor any other problems in my life. And so by the time it was November of 2022, what I saw was that in terms of my like physical ability to live in the world, food had been the only area that I could be physically present. And so what I developed after I had my surgery was like an obsession, right, with my food and like timing of eating and what I was eating and those kinds of things, in a way that wasn't necessarily about like restriction for me, but was about like an obsession of my mind as it related to food and my ability to control it. And so what I had by that time was physically like I was going up and down like 5 to 10 pounds. But then mentally I was like afraid. Ultimately, my fear manifested in a different way that now I had the experience to say, okay, life is still challenging with this weight loss, and I still don't have the skills that I need to cope to face the challenges that I have in my life, or in my view, to keep this weight off. Like, I had no sense that I was going to be able to keep the weight off, and I had no sense that I was going to be like mentally well, even as a person in a thinner body. And so at that point, I knew that I needed help. And the reality of my story is that throughout my life, like people had told me that there was no such thing as food addiction or sugar addiction or whatever, that it was very much an issue of like self-control and my inability to moderate. And so I had a sense of like truth for myself, but the outside world was telling me that it was something different. But by that point, what felt like my bottom, I was like, I can't continue to deny what I feel like is true for me. And so I went to handy dandy Google and asked, is sugar addiction real? And if so, like, where do people go for help with that? And that is how I found OA. And so I came into program. I attended like a newcomer session at the end of of 2022. But then, for the holidays, felt like, oh, okay, cool. I can figure this thing out for myself. My birthday's in January. I'll like do a New Year's resolution thing. Like I'll be able to work on it. And I came up on my surgery anniversary, and I was like, okay, I just need to lock back in on all the things that I was taught, and I can do it by myself again. But no, by February of 2023, that is when I truly came into the rooms, and have not left since that time. And so what I got when I came into the rooms, I came in with a clear sense of like, I am powerless, and I am afraid. And that being like the basis for me of step one. But what I got in coming into the room, and at my first meeting, heard a speaker who I ended up asking to be my first sponsor. I got a sense of hope, right? And so hearing from other people that like the person who was speaking that day had been in program for like 40 years, and like was like me, and I was like, people are doing this, like, wait, like for life, and you feel like you're good and like you're okay, and this thing is still working for you. Like that message really resonated with me. And to be able to see like the physical reality of that felt really important to me as someone who came from a faith background, that like I always had the idea of spirituality and the divine as something that was supposed to work, but I feel like I really struggled with in my own life, like seeing the tangible impact of that. And so I feel like my struggle with faith was one of like really wanting to believe, but feeling like I didn't have the evidence. And so coming into program and like seeing people who said a thing but then looked like the physical evidence of what they were saying, like felt like what I needed in that time. And so something that I say about like what has been really helpful for me in my program is a sense that if I have not tried every approach to program, then I cannot say that it works, or like rather that I cannot say that it does not work. And so the reality of like my time in program have been again in since February 2023, and have had my ups and downs, have tried a lot of different styles of working the program. But for me, the foundation has been a sense of no two people work the program the same. And if I say that, oh, okay, I tried it this way and it didn't work, I have the opportunity to try it a different way, and hope that that will work. And so there's a fellow at a meeting at meetings that I see pop up, that their little Zoom box image says, I abstain from leaving OA. Like I very much have that sense of like abstaining from leaving the program, because this is a lifelong like experience of trying different ways of doing this thing that I have come to in my step two process, like choose to believe does work. And so that like for me is like the foundation of step two. And that came from an understanding for me that like, so my physical allergy, like at base level, like sugar is something that I do not eat, cannot eat. Like I am physically allergic, will kill me. There are other things that are a part of my abstinence, but recognizing like the idea of this being like a three-part disease in the mental sense, like my addiction or my disease is one of like pessimism and negativity. And so like just the idea that I choose to hope or I choose to believe, like, is a work of me choosing to be in recovery. And so that is something that I had to come to learn that really helped me in terms of the other aspects of my program. So in my physical recovery, I was someone who in the first kind of year and a half, like 2 years of my program, really struggled going back and forth in terms of my ability to abstain physically. And recognizing for me that that challenge came from like getting really negative and not keeping aware of how my negativity was affecting my ability to continue to like persevere, checking that at the door and saying that like, no, like this is gonna work. That thing that like is feeling like it's not possible, like choosing to believe that there is a way to work through this, that it is possible, like recognizing that it's not just like wishful thinking for me, that that is the difference between like living and dying, between like literally not being able to get out of my bed, and like only eating. Being like, oh, okay, there are other actions that I'm willing to take, in this day. And I think I might have glitched, so hopefully y'all can hear me now. But yeah, that is the difference between being like, I literally won't get out of bed, I will only eat, to versus like, I will do something else because I have another foundation, which is the foundation of hope. And so that step two process. So going back to what I was saying before about this idea of a lot of my challenge, being around like this feeling of powerlessness, it led also to a physical disease of inaction, right? So again, like feeling so overwhelmed in the world about my inability to control the world or my circumstances. And so because of like a sense of fear, being like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. What program and working the steps has done for me, thank you. What program and working the steps has done for me is given me a sense that like there is always something to do. And so that has helped to combat the disease, the physical disease in me of inaction, that leads to food. And so by that I mean that like people talk about this idea and program of like it works if you work it, like every step has an associated action, right? And so if I think about like what, as someone who's worked all the steps and is living in that like 10, 11, and 12 span of things, like what is there for me to do in any given situation? I can take an inventory, right? What is there for me to do in any given situation? There is a host of tools that our program has, and really grateful that that there is a specific, like this is a specific food program, right? The 12 steps are great in general, but there are certain tools that are really helpful for me as a compulsive overeater that might not have been available to me if I like came in through another route. And so there are like specific tools that I get to use, that I get to do something. And it's never like a, there's literally nothing that you can do but eat, Sharon. Like, unless it's a mealtime, there is always something else that I can be doing. But I think, especially something that has come around for me in the last, like, I think it's been like a month or two, actually. So, this is a very new part of my program that I feel really grateful for, is a particular focus on the 12th step. And in that frame of like, having something to do. I think I struggled a little bit in step three around the will of God and the question. And I got like really like again, the fear kind of tried to work with me in the step three space of like being like, okay, I need to have exact direction from my higher power on like exactly what I'm supposed to do and everything. But coming to this realization that, like, what is the will of God for me in any given moment? The will of God for me is to practice the principles of the program. And, like, really coming down to that space for me, that it's not necessarily like, God, do you want me to make a left or literally make a right at this intersection if I can go either way to get home? And me being like sitting at the light, being like, do I make a left? Do I make a right? Do I make a left? Do I make a right? And like, literally getting like obsessive about it, but moving to a place of like higher power in situations and circumstances where I feel like I don't know what to do, what principle might you be inviting me to practice in this moment? Is this a moment to practice courage in taking a new direction because the girl is always taking the same route home? Is this an opportunity for service that maybe if I take the long way, I get to make a phone call that I might not have made? Is this an opportunity to be honest, that like honestly, what I need to do is take a nap and not be on this drive anyway because I'm tired. But again, like coming to this place in my current program, that the thing that there is always for me to do is to think about how I am living out the principles of this program in my daily life, and that has been my journey from being someone who was powerless. And afraid and incapable of doing anything but eating, to someone who, in any given moment, can say, God, what is my part in this? And feel like really confident in my part, and my ability to just do my part. And so, yeah, with that being said, super grateful, for the opportunity to share. Thank you all for listening.